better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out door.
Come over here, kid. Where's something? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? Have a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry. Stay hungry. Stay hungry.
You want some more?
Delicious.
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the One Country's Most Delicious Hour. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan. Be with you until 7:55 tonight. Thanks for tuning in. Is spring in the air or what? My goodness, if you live in western Sonoma County, about half of the trees look like they've had bowls of popcorn dumped on their branches. They've just like sprung into bloom. It's amazing. Some are still sleeping, but you can just start to see the buds forming. So, yeah, spring is on its way. It always is, but there's this really cold nights and rainy days, and I think, oh, is spring ever going to happen? And of course it does. Coming up next weekend, both more blossoms, but also the California Artisan Cheese Festival is happening. Last year, Mouthful did an entire show on it. Tonight, we're going to mention it and sort of stay associated to it, but not really cover the whole thing. Maybe next year we will do that. But it takes place March 7th, that's Friday, through Monday. Primarily at the Sheraton in Petaluma, and then branching out from there. So you have sort of the Sheraton as your home base. On Friday night, there's a lot of dinners following the welcoming reception and tasting. But there's also a dinner on Thursday night that's, you know, sort of associated, a kissing cousin, we might be able to say, with the Cheese Festival. It is taking place out in Marshall at Nick's Cove, and we have Ted Anderson here to talk about it. Welcome to Mouthful.
Howdy.
How's it going? You have a fly on your hat, right?
Yeah, I just caught two big wild steelhead on it this year.
You did?
On Christmas Eve, yeah. It's my lucky fly.
Okay.
I tied it myself, and it caught me two big steelhead on the Gualala River. Oop, can't give away my favorite rivers.
Cool. And it's fuchsia.
Definitely. You got the color on the nose. Some people say pink.
No, it's fuchsia.
No. Yeah,
no, fuchsia. Absolutely, fuchsia.
Yeah.
And is there a particular function to the color?
It is, well, God, I can't give away too many secrets, but it's a beloved color of wild steelhead.
Wild steelhead like fuchsia.
Definitely.
Okay, there you go.
I don't know why. Maybe it looks like some weird forage bait fish that they eat, some little sardine or something.
Uh-huh.
Or.
Oh, that's a great little piece of knowledge.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I love the fly.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about steelhead, wild steelhead, on Mouthful quite a bit lately.
Yeah, there was just the Wild Steelhead Festival in Healdsburg.
Right, and we had a couple people on before the festival, and then we had so much fun with them, we had them on after the festival as well.
Great.
So it's nice that wild steelhead are getting a lot of attention.
Definitely.
So Nick's Cove.
Yep.
What
Nick's.
Do you do there?
I am the restaurant manager. I'm one of a gang of restaurant managers. There's kind of a little team.
You got to watch out for those gangs of managers.
Yeah, exactly. It gets a little scary. Well, there's a little collective of four of us who we watch the operations of the restaurant. And there's one general manager, Luke Chamberlain, who was from Hog Island days and the ferry building Hog Island operation, and also Monka's. And mm-hmm. he's the GM at Nick's. And then he brought in three of us floor managers, mm-hmm. myself, Tara, and Eric. And we're kind of the people floating the floor and pouring the wine.
So one of you is there all the time.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Mm-hmm. Now, when did you all open, what, about a year ago?
We opened in July.
Okay.
Right around
okay.
July 4th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Long time coming, huh?
Oh, yeah. About 8 years of construction. After Pat Coletto and Mark Franz purchased the property, they put a lot of time and heart and soul and saved up pennies into a...
Probably, you know, got calluses on their knees from begging before the planning department.
Oh, I think there was something like 20 to 50 different agencies reviewing... Because you look at it on the water and on the coast, so you go from city to county to state to federal that had to approve everything at Nick's. It was quite a process.
And amazing to stick with them. Amazing for anyone to stick with it for that long.
They got beat up, but they're happy and filled with glowing pride right now.
Well, cool. So tell me about the Thursday night dinner.
Thursday nights, we're doing some wine maker dinners as well. But this Thursday night dinners is a special cheese dinner in honor of the Artisan Cheese Guild, and we're doing a 5-course menu paired with local farmstead. Well, not local, small farmstead, small production organic cheese production, and mm-hmm. one from Modesto and one from Washington State. Mm-hmm. And our chef Adam Malley created a menu. To go with the cheeses. It's in honor of the cheese festival.
The cheese festival,
Petaluma,
right.
Yeah.
So do you have the menu?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so what's first?
The first thing is, there's some hors d'oeuvres out on, we have a great pier sticking right out in Tamales mm-hmm. Bay, and we're going to probably have some Point Reyes Blanc de Blanc, a wonderful local bubbly mm-hmm. out in the sunset with a little appetizer or a little past hors d'oeuvres of Gougère, they're mm-hmm. little sort of cheese puffs.
Puffs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, fancy word for cheese puff. And they've got some of the, I believe, some of the Fiscalini cheese in them. And there's a Dungeness crab celery salad, too, mm-hmm. with those little cheese puffs. That's sort of the appetizer. And the first course is a Belgian endive salad with a pear vinaigrette with the Mount Townsend cirrus. And Mount Townsend is the cheese maker from Washington.
From Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw it in your notes. It says it's like the Cowgirl Creamery of Washington.
Yeah, they were kind of on the forefront up there of small, local, organic, sustainable, very down-home cheese making and very creative and artisanal.
Mm-hmm. So what is the cheese that you...
It's the Cirrus. The Cirrus cheese from them. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And can you tell us anything about the cheese?
I'm kind of a... waiter guy and
okay,
a wine
it's
guy.
Okay.
I have some notes
no.
here. Yeah, I'm gonna take the fifth on that one.
Okay. Yeah. Do we know what animal?
Oh, definitely cow.
Oh, it's cow.
All,
okay.
All of, I have some notes if I'm allowed to.
Absolutely.
Cirrus is It's their camembert. It's their camembert styled cheese.
Oh, okay.
And they've made it a bit fattier. And more creamy than a lot of the camemberts.
And you know, that's pretty much always a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And they say it showcases their flavors of their North Olympic pastures. And so we're going to, that's right there in those little cream puffs. No, that's the one with the Belgian endive.
Mm-hmm.
And then following that is a Tuscan bread soup, you know, the Ribollita.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to have grated into it the Fiscalini San Joaquin Gold, and that's from the small farm out in Modesto.
Uh-huh. You see them quite a bit, Fiscalini.
Yeah.
I see them around a lot.
Yeah, I've seen them at stores in Sebastopol and whatnot.
Yeah, and they tend to be at a lot of events as well.
Oh, good. Good.
So, okay. So
and all these are paired with, while the two cheese places are from kind of far away, we're really focusing on local wines with
okay.
this. So Nick's is really proud of our wine list that mm-hmm. is west of Highway 101. We have a ton of coastal wines.
Another west of 101,
yep.
like Seaweed Cafe.
Exactly.
Yeah. So with that, the salad with the Cirrus, what's the wine with that?
Oh, we haven't done exactly the pairings yet, but I have a feeling we're probably going to go with the Flowers Chardonnay, or it could be the Stubbs Chardonnay from Marin County. Mm-hmm. We're still fine-tuning because I need to taste the things first, mm-hmm. the menu first, and then I'll really focus in on the wine list mm-hmm. at that point. Yeah.
Okay. So Tuscan bread soup, which is... I wish you had some right now.
Oh, definitely.
I'd really love to try that. So what's after the bread soup?
And then after that is, see, Nick's is kind of a roadhouse at all times. You know, it's very down home, so it's classic Nick's. We're going to have a grilled cheese sandwich as sort of right before the main course.
One of the best things in the world, yep. A grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah, and so on the side is going to be a little bit Macintosh apple, but there's going to be the Fiscalini 2-year-old cheddar and some frise and apple butter in the grilled cheese sandwich. And it's on Brick Maiden Bread, our favorite little bakery in Point Reyes. Mm-hmm. And we love serving that. And, basic grilled cheese.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm not sure what I'm going to pair with grilled cheese yet. I have to think.
Yeah. You know, sometimes... Actually, it depends on how far you toast the bread.
Right.
How far you grill the bread.
Right.
But with cheddar, you know, I'd probably go for a Pinot Noir. But I usually do.
Wow.
Probably.
Well, we have a lot of great Pinot Noir, so I'm going to take that inspiration to heart and think about
now,
it.
Now, the apple butter, I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. I might have to think. I'd have to taste it mm-hmm. to be sure. Mm-hmm. But with the cheddar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have a wonderful Pay Marin Pinot Noir from right in Marin. We love our little Marin wine mm-hmm. selection.
That's a great little area.
Yeah.
And we should say, you know, that area, we're talking about Marshall, mm-hmm. so from sort of Point Reyes south.
Exactly.
That whole little area, nice, cool climate.
Yep. Ocean breezes and then a little bit of heat. It's a lot like Mendocino. I mean, it feels just like up in Mendocino mm-hmm. and one of our other favorites, Navarro vineyards. So a lot of the wines coming out of... this little triangle of Petaluma Chileno Valley Road down mm-hmm. to Lucas Valley Road and west of 101.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think is really nice about that area is that it's pretty well protected.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to turn into the next wine country.
Very much so.
There won't be a lot of building. There won't be big tasting rooms.
Yep.
You know, it'll just stay agricultural, and I think that's a really good thing. Well, we're not going to give you the whole menu right away. We're going to take a break first here on Mouthful. You're listening to Mouthful on KRCB. We're talking with Ted Anderson of Nick's Cove. We framed this with the Artisan Cheese Festival coming up next Friday through Monday. That is March 7th through 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, I think I can mm-hmm. count. Nick's Cove is having a Cheese Festival dinner taking place the night before the kickoff of the festival. So we're getting ready to hear what the fourth course is.
Main course. It's a Scottish salmon, a slow-roasted Scottish salmon. It's sustainably farmed from Loch Duarte. It's one of the only... as you just heard me talk about steelhead, we're pretty careful at Nick's about what sustainable farming of aquaculture means.
Yeah.
And we finally found one that we're really proud of.
Really? And tell me about some of the quotes. What was it that made you think it was okay?
Well, it's the fish is native to... It's the Atlantic salmon that's staying put in mm-hmm. where they belong. So it's not often the Atlantic salmon is pulled over to the Pacific Northwest mm-hmm. into British Columbia and Northern Washington State, and I think that's a big no-no.
Yeah.
And so they're in the pens in the in Scotland, in the lochs there. So they're native fish,
mm-hmm.
and and they're very careful about the release of them so they don't intermix with the wild population. And that's, to me, a second issue, mm-hmm. that they're not intermixing. So we're always looking really carefully. We're a big believer in aquaculture at Nick's, as you know, because oysters is probably our biggest thing at Nick's. And thus, when we look for farmed fish,
What about their feed? That's one of the things
that's an issue that I still want to look into.
Yeah,
because you don't want them to dredge the bottom for the krill and the feed for the salmon.
Yeah, and you kind of don't want dye in there either.
Yeah. Oh, I know there's no dye.
Okay, cool.
But our chef, Adam Malley, carefully sourced this, and we're still researching. It's hard sometimes to get these answers of what exactly the feed was, because it's way over in Scotland. But we're both working on that, trying to find that out.
Now, there was that thing that happened a few months ago. Was it Scotland or Ireland where this huge... Lawrence, maybe you know about this too. This huge, and I mean huge, miles wide, I think it was squid... A school of squid, something came through and wiped out all the salmon farms.
Wow.
It was like a mile deep and 2 miles wide or something. Do you remember that, Lawrence? It was...
Good nature bats last.
Yeah, yep. It was a remarkable story, and I'm pretty sure it was in the summer.
Wow.
And they just came and they couldn't do anything to stop it. Yep. They saw it before it got... They saw the swarm before it got there, but it just wiped out. I was thinking it was Scotland, but maybe it was Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Oh, now I'm curious.
You're not thinking about big drift nets off the Isle of Man.
No. This was a few months ago.
Okay.
And it was a phenomenon of nature, not a phenomenon of humans.
Because I did hear just last week there are some huge drift nets been let go, apparently.
The
story that I heard on the BBC was they said it was the size of 3 football pitches. Or multiple football pitches just drifting.
Drifting.
Yeah, and I don't know why they haven't pulled them out yet, but apparently they're... a hazard to navigation and causing all kinds of grief to the folks around Isle of Man, the fisher people.
Oh.
So that's all I know about.
Sometimes it just makes you want to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
but anyway, we're not going to bed. We're talking about Scottish salmon.
Just a slow-roasted Scottish salmon. And how Adam's using cheese in this dish. I said to Adam right away, cheese with salmon. But he said, well, it's on a bed of some roasted cauliflower. And he's melted... the Mount Tansen sea stack cheese into this cauliflower dish. And the sea stack is from the Washington Creamery, and it's a yummy cheese that has actually a rind with some sea salt mixed in it. So I think it's going to pair nicely with salmon, that little cheese flavor in the cauliflower. And that's probably going to be a Pinot Noir dish, I can bet you that. Probably Radio Coteau. The way I'm leaning. Yeah, we're good buddies with Eric Sussman at Nick's. Yeah.
Great Pinot. That is
fantastic.
Great.
Yeah.
And then rounding things up?
Well, after that is going to be a cheese-focused dessert. I mean, that's the finale of the salmon. But Adam, our chef, is still in the sketching phases of the dessert. Yeah, it's a secret.
It's a secret. Yeah. So there'll be a secret cheese dessert.
Yeah.
And, of course, you won't know what you're pairing with it until he figures out what it is.
Right. Perhaps I've got a wonderful late harvest Viognier from Point Reyes Vineyards down the road in Point Reyes from us.
Now, Point Reyes. Point Reyes is the one winery in the area
Closest to us, and they're good buddies with us. Yeah. Yeah, and they have a little tasting room there. I'm speaking off the cuff, but they're the one I know has a tasting room of the Marin wines.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple in the more populated areas, not on the coast.
Right.
That are sort of revivals of really old wineries, but I don't even know if those ever did actually open. I need to look into that.
Mm-hmm.
Point Reyes Vineyards, it's also a B&B, right?
Boy, I'm not
sure.
It's a
B&B.
I've seen a little sign.
Yeah, it's a B&B, and... The guy who owns it is a former deadhead.
Oh.
So
we have something in common.
You can get some of those stories. You know, he'll sometimes start talking or music will be playing or something. It's a
Steve.
Yeah, Steve. That's right.
Because he comes into Nick's all the time, I have to chat with him then.
Yeah. I'm almost positive he's a former
we'll
deadhead.
Compare
I've taken some people there on tours at various times, and it was always a fun stop.
Wow, good.
Kind of, there's sort of a potential for some degree of if not flashback. Rowdiness. No, I was going to say, if not rowdiness, at least exuberance. But maybe flashback is the right way to put it. How much is the dinner?
It's $135, and it's paired with, so the wine's included and mm-hmm. the tax and everything. And I believe there's a discount on our cabins as well. So I don't have that information, but I think the cabins are greatly discounted if you want to bundle that together and stay mm-hmm. in one of our cottages.
Yeah, and if you're doing a wine pairing dinner and you can stay in Marshall, that's a really good idea because it's no fun to spit during dinner and it's a long drive.
And we've learned, the people who really have bottles of wine are the people staying in our cottages.
Sure.
Everyone else is being very careful, which is great.
Now, there's four cottages, is that right?
Oh, no, there's, I think there's about 12.
Oh, there are. Oh,
yeah,
I was thinking
there's
four.
Five on the water.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, and I think it's 12, seven across the street.
Oh, I didn't realize you had
the
across
water.
The street, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hill just goes right up
right.
there.
So you look right over, you just pop your eyes over Highway 1 and you look right out on the bay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Many, many different little architectural styles. One of the cottages is a little boat shack. It's my favorite one. It's called Nicolina. It's in a miniature Nick, and it's like a little houseboat, but it's raised up on stilts, and it's like you're staying in a yacht's bed, a kind of a big brindle bed made out of wood, and there's no TV in it because it's so small. It's wonderful.
And are the other one, is each one different?
Very much so. Each one is its own style. One's named Bandits Bungalow, named after that movie Bandits that was filmed at Nick's,
mm-hmm.
an old Bruce Willis movie, and Kate Blanchett, I think. But I haven't seen it, but I hear that a little movie was filmed there. And then we've got Uncle Andy's and Uncle Mike's, and they all have little names, and they're all kind of they're pretty heartfelt, designed by Pat mm-hmm. Coletto. He took a big hand in designing all them, bringing a lot of his favorite little knickknacks and fishing rods and old lures and nets, and they're all kind of in the cabins.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is in general considered the slow season.
Yes, but we're, oh boy, we're often fully booked on the weekend, and midweek sometimes two-thirds booked.
Really?
Yeah.
And how is it during the wet months? Where people,
I've
always
thought
it'd be a great place to be during the big storm.
Right. Well, we actually lost our power for a whole week, and it was rough because when the storms hit there, they really hit, and the lines go down, and they stay down because the PG&E crews are driving all around the back roads trying to fix them. But we're learning, it's the Wild West out there. Mm-hmm. We're learning how to deal with it.
You closed for the week?
Yeah, we had to close for the week, but we're going to figure out how to fix that with generators and mm-hmm. whatnot. But other times the storms blow through and everyone just hunkers down by their wood stove, and every cabin has a little wood stove, and mm-hmm. people come into the restaurant and play cards and while it's storming outside and have some clam chowder and hang out. It's great.
Yeah, I think being at the coast during a big storm is the place to be if you like weather.
Yeah, we've got a wonderful deck surrounded by glass and sort of this little tarpaulin roof, and the storm really blows into that. And you get to sit out there and huddle in the warmth and by the candles and watch the storm slash into the windows. It's great.
Yeah. Now, if we can't talk about this, it's okay, but can we talk any about the history of Nick's?
Sure. I could give you my little sketches that I understand.
Nick's has been there for a really long time.
Oh,
it's got a great history.
Many incarnations, about 80 years worth, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my understanding is it started out as a herring canning plant. The original building footprint was a little factory for canning fish that they caught out there. And I'm not sure when it turned into Nick's. The restaurant was right after that.
Mm-hmm. Seems like it was the 40s.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. But one of the stories I've heard is that the pier... Part of that was on the other side of Tumalus Bay, and it was pulled across.
Well, I think the cottages were pulled across.
Okay.
I don't think the pier was. For instance, Nicolina was pulled across.
Okay. So it was the cottages.
So at least three of the cottages were pulled across from the Inverness area, like on a little tugboat situation.
Uh-huh.
And then they were just plopped down on our side, and then we rebuilt those. We didn't build anything brand new. We just refurbished everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're all old school, all the buildings,
Mm-hmm. And what about the pier? That pier, for a long time you couldn't go on it.
Right.
This was before Pat Colletto bought it.
Mm-hmm.
But for a long time, it was just too run down. You couldn't walk out. There was a danger close sign. Yep. So what did you do to the pier?
We've completely rebuilt it. I mean, basically, it's brand new pier, but in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, it's my favorite part of Nick's. Out on the end is a little boat shack. And that's going to be a room for private events.
Oh.
And like a little wedding could happen out there or a little dinner party. But it might be 500 yards sticking out into Demolis Bay, and you've got a little room there with a table mm-hmm. for 12 surrounded on all sides by the bay. It's pretty wonderful.
And can guests walk out there on the pier
totally.
Now?
Totally, yeah. It's,
so it's open.
It's a public access.
Public access.
Yeah,
that's great.
During hours of operation, the public's just walking right out into that pier. It's, of course, the Coastal Commission has made that happen in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And down the road, we want to get licensing. We want to start serving oysters and whatnot out there as well. But right now, it's just for a private function. But we want to have part of our restaurant operation out there in the row, but we mm-hmm. need to get the licensing for that.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the little boathouse already there?
Yes. It's sitting
there.
Out on a...
Okay,
there's sort
so
of a little island of wood on the end of this pier. It's
uh-huh.
like a little platform with a lot of Pat's old... what do you call them? Life preservers and a lot of his old outboard motors. Pat's a big lover of tchotchkes and stuff of fishing history, and it's everywhere. So you feel like you truly feel like you're in an old goofy boat shack from the 50s
mm-hmm.
out there. It's really great. People love walking out there before and after dinner
mm-hmm.
and checking it out and looking at the view, and it's great.
And what about marine life?
Boy,
on one hand, you're right there.
Yep. I have an oath as I, you know, as a restaurant manager, I'm pretty busy, but I have an oath as I walk into work to walk out onto the pier and just take a deep breath before the bustle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And almost half the time I walk out and it's either a school of jellyfish. I don't know if they're called schools, but the jellyfish are swarming and
blooming.
I think
they're schools.
Yeah, they're, you know, they bloom and rise and fall. They're surrounding me out there.
And
on
what
the pier.
Type?
Oh, boy, I couldn't tell you that it's the type that about the size
the big
of a football. Yeah, the big type.
So I think they're the big moon jellies.
Yeah, I don't know their names.
Yeah, I think they're moon jellies because I was, you know, Heart's Desire Beach.
Uh-huh, right across the bay.
Yeah. I was there, oh, gosh, it must be 3 or 4 years now. And right when we got there, we waited out, and there was this solo moon jelly.
Right.
And it just performed for like 30 minutes.
Dance. Yeah.
I got great photographs.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. They're really gorgeous. So, those are moon jellies.
Right. And we've got, the day I was hired, I was standing there with one of the chief spirits, one of the first employees, and we were standing on the pier and looked right out, and there was a whale. There was a whale spouting, a whale that had come into Tamales Bay.
What type?
I believe it was a gray whale.
Gray whale.
But it was out in the middle of the bay, right between us and Hog Island, and it was incredible. And I've been out there in my kayak and caught big mysterious fish that have pulled my kayak for, you know, a mile. I've gotten a good tug boat ride.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So it's pretty wild out there. You know, it's great. You know, and our pier sticks right out into it.
Uh-huh.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, that's one of the really nice things. To get that close to uninterfered with nature.
Yep.
It's a really nice thing. Now, you're not lit from, you didn't light anything from the water. I mean, nothing.
I mean, is the pier
there's no
fully
under,
lit?
There's no underwater lighting.
Oh,
there,
no.
No, because they...
Oh, I'm sure it wouldn't have even been allowed.
They
but also,
allowed
we're
that,
really...
Yeah.
Everything's pretty low-key at
uh-huh.
Nick's. I mean, it sort of fits into the hillside, and
mm-hmm.
we didn't really add any new crazy buildings or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of was all the old architecture just fixed up, and the lighting's very subtle. There's just some Christmas lights here and there.
It's a smack of jellyfish.
Wow.
Thank you, Lawrence. I had no...
That is wild.
I had no idea. A smack of jellyfish. Sort of gives you a feeling of what it's like when they hit you.
Lawrence, could you come live with me? And every time I have a really wild question, you could just research it really quick.
I don't think you could afford me.
A smack of jellyfish. That's so cool. I think that calls for a break.
They do it down on Canvas Sands. They do it at Waikiki. Blazing about the beach all day at night. The cricket's creepy. Squinting faces of the sky. A Harold Robbins paperback.
shell. Shrinking in the sea so cold, topless ladies look away.
It's Mouthful. What else would it be? We are talking with Tad Anderson of Nick's Cove. Nick's Cove has a dinner coming up on March 6th in honor of the California Artisan Cheese Festival that kicks off the next day, a four-day festival in Petaluma. Started last year and was quite a success in its first year, and events for this year's, a number of events are already sold out. And just before we go to our book reviews, and they are back, I'll give you a roundup of what events are happening with that. But for now, we're going to continue our talk with Tad about Nick's. And I'm wondering, one of the things that always seems so odd to me, and it's probably just my ignorance, is that we don't have more local fish.
Right.
We're a coastal, we're on the coast.
Right.
So are you guys able to access?
We're building our relationships. I mean, We've already had a few occasions where a local fisherman friend has brought us a salmon or a halibut,
mm-hmm.
and we're building that because we've got a lot of good buddies right along the coastline,
mm-hmm.
from us down to Marshall, down to Point Reyes,
mm-hmm.
and Inverness. And we know a lot of fellas and gals. And
thinking they should be bringing in some nice sand dabs.
We're starting to bring some in. Yep. Yeah. We've got some of the sand dabs we got was from the Bay Area, from the San Francisco Bay Area. But, oysters galore.
Yes,
but,
of course.
Right now, we work a lot with the tides, and they help us out, and their fleet is helping us out,
mm-hmm.
Quite a bit. But we're kind of building a community, just like we're linking up with all the local farmers in West Marin.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to link up with all the local fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of our goals, is to get a lot of the kooky things that they catch, not just the straightforward always salmon and halibut.
Mm-hmm.
But for instance, right now we're serving some Rouge Berbet, that Mediterranean fish. From far away, but we really want to stop those airfares and get the local stuff.
Mm-hmm. And what about mussels? Where do you get mussels?
The mussels are from Knot to Mollis Bay,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not exactly sure where they're from. But our clams, mm-hmm. are from Hog Island, and all the oysters are from the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, also we pride ourselves now and then in having Washington oysters, Nova Scotia oysters, British Columbia oysters. We love often having six types, so we have quite an oyster bar.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a wine list that's really matched to oysters. We've got so many wines that we've carefully thought about oysters with.
Mm-hmm. And you serve both lunch and dinner, right?
Yes. And right now we're closed Tuesday days and Wednesday days and nights. But in about a month and a half, we're going to be 7 days and seven nights.
Mm-hmm.
So we closed a little bit for the winter season on those days. But Tuesday night's fun. Right now, we're still open Tuesday nights, and we have a locals' night that night with local music, with Marin and Sonoma County bands come and play out on our deck. And we kind of have a locals' prices. We have some Lagunitas ale and Pilsner from Petaluma, and we've got some great oysters for a dollar each and whatnot, just to bring in all the Marshall folk and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And are they coming?
Yeah, they are. It's growing.
Uh-huh.
And it's great. You sit and listen to a lot of acoustic blues and some great sort of folk-influenced music and blues-influenced music right,
mm-hmm.
there in our dining room or out on the deck. And that's a good weeknight fun gig. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Let's talk about the overall menu a little bit. First, does it change? Is it separate for lunch and dinner, or is it all
day
menu?
There's sort of a lunch theme that gets a little more casual and simple. There's always a raw bar,
mm-hmm.
and there's always clam chowder, and there's pretty often fish and chips,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. But lunch leans towards more of a steak salad, often from Marin Sun Farms,
mm-hmm.
beef. And some like simple sandwiches and things like that, but dinner turns into the fancier fish dishes. Our guiding executive chef is Mark Franz of,
mm-hmm.
Farallon, and he's a master of great things to do with grilled fish and roasted fish and pan steamed fish, so that's the dinner. We'll lean towards that, and often a great hearty osobuco. Or, so there's often a bulk of fish, but then there's one or two B beef or chicken or pork dishes. Mm-hmm. Boy, I tell you, we don't sell a lot of red wine. I wish we did, but white wine flies out the door because people come to us. It's kind of like they're going to Spengers.
Okay.
So they're like, oh, let's go to Nick's.
Uh-huh.
And so they come out and they order the fish. And the fish is great. It's so fresh. And we've got a great fried oyster dish where the cornmeal fried oysters. And in the center is some Nooski bacon on some spinach and a spinach salad. But the cornmeal crusted, that's my favorite dish at Nick's. The bacon and oysters.
What bacon?
Bacon and oysters. I think it's surpassed a BLT for me now.
Really?
Bacon and oysters.
Wow.
You take a little piece of bacon and put it on each oyster. I'm done. That's it.
Better than a BLT.
Yeah, I know.
Sound the alarms.
Yeah.
I had oysters and bacon last night.
How so?
Well, I went to a cocktail party and the theme was 40s. And I actually had volunteered to do the research for some of the food. And so there were, you know, rumaki was oysters wrapped in bacon.
Right.
And there were two or three versions.
And isn't a Hangtown Fry have oysters and bacon?
Oh, yes, yep. Definitely. Yep. Hangtown Fry has oysters and bacon.
Yep.
But, you know, can you think of anything off the top of your head that's not good with bacon?
No.
There you go.
No.
I know what I wanted to ask. With dinner, can you come in and just eat casually?
Completely.
So it's not the sort of place where they'll just look at you weird if you just want to.
Oh, no. You could sit at the bar, and we've got an oyster bar separate from our bar, and we've got this great place called the Hog Table because it overlooks Hog Island. It's kind of a big family table.
Oh, and do you see people there?
Yep, we see couples and triples and whatnot, and they all hang out at this big long counter.
I love stuff like that.
And it's a big, wonderful marble counter where people share oysters and wine and,
cool.
and meet each other.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think we need more tables like that in restaurants.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. And what are the hours?
The hours of Nick's are right now lunch is 11:30 till 5, and that every day except Tuesday
and
Wednesday. And dinner is 5 to 9:30, and that is every day except Wednesdays right now. But in about, I think tax day in April is when we're going to kick into 7 plus 7. So it'll be basically open 11:30 to 9:30.
Uh-huh. And then does the bar stay open later or?
No.
There's no bar, yeah.
No one's walking in after 9 o'clock, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wish they were, but.
It may change during the summer.
Yeah.
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 When it's not getting dark until 9:15.
Right.
That may change.
It's a great sunset out there.
Whew. Yeah. Oh, it is. Some of the best pictures I've ever taken, and I'm no photographer. I've got some great photographs of Tamales Bay sunsets.
And the wild thing is I live in Bloomfield, right up the road, and it's way more foggy there than Tamales Bay. I think Tamales Bay is sort of this funny banana belt because I think the Point Reyes Park shields the fog.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So we're often, everywhere else is foggy except us. It's really fun that way.
Cool. And so Nick's Cove, of course, in Marshall, the town of Marshall, Highway 1. How do people get reservations for Thursday night's dinner or anything else?
They call us up at 415-663-1033.
That's 415-663-1033.
And our website, www.nickscove.com, can also take reservations as well.
Okay. And you've got some events coming up. You've got winemaker dinners that are happening.
Yeah, we've got one with Amphora. Amphora Wines, and we've got an upcoming one with Paymarin Vineyards in Marin County as well.
And then we won't say too much about this yet, but there are plans in the works for...
There's an Oyster Palooza in the works, and I just named it that, which was naughty of me. But it's an Oyster Fest, and it's coinciding with the rechristening of our dock, because we had to pull up our boat dock because of the winter storms, because they were getting beat up by the high waves. But we're going to put down the berths again so people can pull up in yachts and sailboats and canoes
kayaks.
They could pull right into Nick's and tie up and walk in for lunch. And so we're going to do that in late April.
And Mouthful will definitely let you know about it. And I want to say thank you, Ted.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having
me. Thanks
for
coming, and I know that you got pulled in at the last minute. I really appreciate it.
It's good to be here.
And with the Artisan Cheese Festival, you can just go to artisancheesefestival.com to look at the full schedule. There are dine-around dinners on Friday night. Della Fattoria features the girls from Cowgirl Creamery, Sue Conley and Peggy Smith. Dempsey's Restaurant and Brewery features the cheeses of Bellwether Farms. Reese BC has a four-course menu going on. Tole Restaurant, which is at the Sheraton, is participating, as is Central Market. There's all kinds of activities on Saturday. And then I guess Sunday is seminar day. And lots of seminars if you want to get all geeky about cheese and, who knows, turn into a cheese maker. That's on Saturday. And then Sunday, it's the Artisan Cheese Marketplace that goes on from... I think 11 until 4, it looks like. Oh, yes, 11 until 4. John Ash is doing demonstrations, so are Nancy Oakes and Bruce Idels. And then on Monday, there are field trips to various artisan cheese producers. So there you go, the Artisan Cheese Festival in 2008. Thanks for tuning in to Mouthful. Meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. And now we have another one of Mouthful's book reviews.
Is it all see Gaska thing, or is it all inside by a slit of volume at three count the wrenched by a towel and of course shape in any fates third buyers and little Alice rubbed in California para she warp in the around Alice's first vills might be dead to bone and console away their used French cooking to find artisan feeding ashamed of America and above the thing that launches the hygienic confetti of his easily intuitive should eat, right?
Well, I went to church last Sunday so I could sing and pray for something quiet.
Presentation of Mouthful and KRCB is made possible by our members and by NetBooks, complete business management software for companies up to 50 people, including wineries and food producers. Information available at netbooks.com or by phone at 86-NETBOOKS.
It came time to let us out. You know the preacher, he kept preaching. He told us, I have one more thing to say. Children, before you think of leaving, you better think about the judgment day. Now, everyone got nervous because of... Everyone was hungry too. Everyone was wondering what was the next thing he would do. And the preacher, he kept preaching. He said, now I remind you, if I may, you all better pay attention, or I might decide to preach all day. Everyone was getting so hungry. The old one started feeling ill, and the weak one started passing out. And the young ones, they could not sit still. And the preacher's voice rose. I snuck up to the balcony and I crept into the choir. And I begged them, brothers, sisters, help me please. I said, when I give you a signal, I said, when I raise up my hands, won't you please join with me together? Praise the Lord, I have a plan. And the preacher, he kept preaching. Long is the struggle hard to fight. And I prayed, Father, please forgive me. And then I stood up, and with all my might, I sang to the Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner, now let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher said. Now it's to the Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner, now let's go. Yes, and I did give a signal. Yes, I raised up my hands, and then joined with me the choir. Said, every woman, a child, and man, I sang to the Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner, now let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher said. Now it's to the Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner, now let's go. The preacher, he stopped preaching, and a hush the church did fill. And then a great white dove from
up above landed on the windowsill, and the dove flew down beside him. A fork appeared right in his hand, and with everybody watching, the creature ate that bird right there. And then everyone got really nervous, and the preacher, he did start to glow. And as we watched on in disbelief, these were the words he spoke.
And the mama's in the kitchen.
Oh, yes, she
has been there all day. I know she's cooking something good, so let's bow our heads and pray.
Sing to the Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread.
Now
listen to what the preacher said. To the Lord, let praises be.
This story,
well,
children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too. And he'll sing
to the Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go.
Preacher said,
to the Lord, praises be.
Praises be.